From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, a small business making its home in Detroit, despite all the worries about the economy there.
But first to a big business, also giving a confidence boost to the Motor City today. The nation's largest bank announced a $100 million investment in Detroit. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to offer loans and grants worth that amount over the next 5 years. And Detroit could sure use the cash. The city filed for bankruptcy last year and is trying to climb out of debt, but faces persistent blight and a long-term decline in both industry and population. So why is J.P. Morgan getting involved now? Does the bank see Detroit as a good long-term investment, or is this about public relations and rebuilding its image following the financial crisis? Joining us now from Detroit is Peter Scheer, Executive Vice President at J.P. Morgan Chase and Head of Corporate Responsibility there. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, how much of this money is loans and how much of it is grants?
So about half of the money is loans. We think one of the most important things we can do to help the revitalization of Detroit is get more money invested into community and economic development. So we're working with two leading community development financial institutions. One is called Invest Detroit. The other is Capital Impact Partners. And we're going to give them each $20 million to lend out, which is actually for Invest Detroit is actually going to double its capacity. And we're also going to give them some grants in order to increase their capacity so they just have the bandwidth to utilize this money. And the other half is their investments in some of the big challenges facing Detroit. So blight is a huge issue, and so we're committing $25 million working with the Detroit Land Bank and the Detroit Blight Removal Task Force, which will actually be issuing a report next week about how to begin to clean up some of the abandoned properties and the foreclosed properties and really put them to more commercial use.
And why now and not back in 2008 when Detroit was really falling off a cliff economically?
Part of the difference now is we see a real change in the leadership here. You have a new mayor, you have a governor, two different parties, but who are working together. You have the business community, you have the nonprofit community. And so when we're making a decision like this to invest, a big part of what we look at is there an environment of collaboration that can lead to success? And the fact is you didn't have that for a long time.
Now, $100 million over 5 years certainly sounds like a lot of money to me and to, I'm sure, many of our listeners, if not all of them. But J.P. Morgan Chase did make a profit of more than $5 billion in the first quarter of this year. I wonder whether the bank ought to be doing more for Detroit.
Well, you know, Jeremy, we invest in communities literally all over the world, in addition to the work we do in terms of lending and in terms of supporting businesses and raising capital. This is not only the most significant private sector investment of this kind to be made in Detroit, it's certainly the most significant that we have made as a company and also the most comprehensive. I mean, we've spent literally the last 7 months working with people on the ground, understanding where the problems are and where we can make a difference.
Although, as you know, and I know that your boss, Jamie Dimon, was asked about this morning on the Today Show, some people see this as a potential PR move by J.P. Morgan. Yeah. What do you say to that?
I understand. You know, people are cynical. I would say to you, if this was just intended for a PR move, there are a lot easier ways we could have done it. I mean, and frankly, a lot cheaper ways. This is a true firm-wide commitment to help Detroit, so we're creating a Detroit Service Corps so people with finance and marketing and technology skills can come spend a month or two at a time in Detroit working with some of the institutions and the agencies and the nonprofit that need support. So this is the real deal.
Well, and it's not just J.P. Morgan, we should say. Goldman Sachs also made a smaller investment in Detroit a few months back. But I wonder, do you think it's possible that with investments like this, that a city like Detroit could become a city like Chicago, let's say, in 10, 20, 30 years?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the bet we're all making. I mean, we've made a big commitment to support cities. You have this incredible population growth, and movement into urban areas. In the next 25 years, close to three-quarters of the world's population will live in urban areas like Detroit. So our hope is that this can be a model for other cities, not only around the United States, but around the world, because the challenges that they face here in Detroit are not necessarily unique. They're certainly in an extreme, but cities all over the world face an issue about workforce development, around blight, around how to get more small businesses growing. And so we're one of the things that is exciting about this for J.P. Morgan Chase is we're going to try models that we haven't tried elsewhere and come up with some solutions that hopefully will be applicable in other places.
Well, what's the model right now? What city that you've been to really impresses you and is doing all the things right?
I don't think you can say any city is doing everything right. I think that the cities that recognize right now, I was just with Mayor Stanton in Phoenix, with Mayor Garcetti in L.A. I was in Hong Kong a few weeks before that. One of the things that marks cities that are headed in the right direction is A, acknowledging head-on the challenges that they have. There's also the cities that recognize that the global economy is changing how they can grow, who they are competing with. They're no longer – Detroit's not just competing with other Midwestern cities for jobs and growth. They're competing with Canada, they're competing with Mexico, they're competing with China and Brazil. You look at a city like Chicago and you compare it to where it was in 1989 before Mayor Rich Daley took office to where it is now, it has become a true international city. Chicago is now the fourth leading exporting city in the country.
You know, we had both Mayor Stanton and Mayor Garcetti on this show. In fact, we broadcast for a few days from both L.A. and Phoenix. Both of them said that they look to Denver as a model city, doing things that they think are smart things for a city to do. One more thing, Peter Scheer, do you think the public has a role to play in input in how you invest this money in Detroit?
I think you can't do the types of things that Detroit is doing and the type of decisions that have to be made, and frankly, the type of hard choices that need to be made without support from the public. We had a dinner here last night to basically lay out the plans for Detroit, and it was really an amazing thing. You had the mayor there. You had the president of one of the biggest labor unions in the country, AFSCME, Lee Saunders, who's been a big advocate for helping Detroit. You had some of the biggest parts of the business community, including Dan Gilbert, who owns Quicken Loans, a big investor, all coming together. I think when the public sees that political leaders are putting the partisanship aside, which we see too often in Washington, and really coming together around a focused and strategic plan, it just makes a huge difference, and they're willing to follow that because I think they know that at the end of the day, it's in the best interest of the city and their own livelihoods.
Peter Scheer, head of corporate responsibility with J.P. Morgan Chase, joining us today from Detroit. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Jeremy, thanks for being with us.